This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We do have Danny Cannell coming up in 20 minutes. We'll be talking college football with him. The big Michigan game coming up. That'll be a good conversation here. He's got a hard stop at 37, guys, though, so don't be too long-winded with him. Just wanted to give you the heads up on that.
Time now looking for, at me?
I want to go full PJ Carlissimo.
Yeah.
With my PJ, PJ, PJ.
That guy is the GOAT, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. Holy cow.
I think that was a three-question interview.
Yeah.
It's like and Red Cross dropped supplies to us. We were there so long.
And it went 3 minutes late.
Needed an IV after listening to that guy.
Wow.
Here's Woolchuck with your NFL news of the day, though.
Thank you very much. We're going to get to Micah and some of his comments here in just a moment. But news of the day, shout out to Patrick Surtain. What do you like to say he just got today, Eric?
The fatty boomba.
Hell yes,
record
he did.
Setter.
Heck yes. He has agreed to terms on a massive four-year extension worth $96 million bleeping dollars with the Broncos. $77.5 million guaranteed, 24 years old. As that deal's done, making him a rich, rich man and well-deserved. He's been one of the best corners in the NFL, if not the best, since he became an NFL player. So he's fantastic. Commander's guard also gave former Texas Longhorn Sam Cosmi a four-year, $74 million contract extension. That includes over $45 million guaranteed. He's been a different player. He played tackle at Texas, not good.
Right.
But as soon as they've kicked him inside to guard,
better.
Much better. Probably, yep. I mean, it might be one. They're only good linemen. It's very possible.
Yeah, they're trying to stay ahead of it. They do need to replace a bunch of those guys there on that crew.
Now, when it comes to Alabama and Surtain's deal, in terms of the total of former Alabama Crimson Tide players that have gotten deals this year, they've made $1 billion this offseason in former Alabama NFL players in their contracts. Tua, of course, got the big deal. Mm-hmm. Patrick Surtain being one of them. Derrick Henry, his new deal, of course, with the Ravens. I mean, the list goes on and on. I think Jalen Waddle got paid.
Yes.
He's one of them as well. Devontae Smith.
Didn't Amari Cooper get some money?
I think Amari got a little bit of a bump as well. I mean, it's crazy, but they all got paid this year, and $1 billion from one school. It just shows you the power of the Crimson Tide. Now, I talked yesterday about Darius Slay. Slay's crawfishing a little bit.
No.
He was talking about he didn't want to go play in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And, you know, with the NFL, what are they doing? They're sending us here. The crime rate's crazy. I asked Jane Janes there for NFL Network. I was like, is it really that bad? Like, are you scared to go out? She said, no. But Uber drivers will kind of tell you, like, there are spots to avoid. So maybe we can get Jane on tomorrow and she can kind of give us an update on what life's like there in Brazil. But Darius Slay took to social media. Said, I want to apologize to anyone I offended. That wasn't my intention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to playing in your beautiful country. Yep. And I've heard y'all are very passionate, just like our amazing Eagle fans. Just a few more days. Can't wait. Can't wait. You went full Bart Scott.
Especially to you gang members I offended.
Yeah, I think the people from Brazil are really going after him. That's actually a good point, too.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you save your fame, man. Brian.
Yeah.
I think the worst part about it for me would be the flight. Isn't that a long flight?
9 hours, he said.
DFW to Brazil is 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's 9 hours.
So you're adding 3 or 4 from Philly.
How long's the London flight? You got to go in 2014.
That was about 9 hours. Yeah. You're flying. That one is a lot faster, of course, going from here to because of the jet stream.
Well, the Eagles are not going to have Devin White, the linebacker they signed this free agency from the Bucs. He's ruled out with an ankle injury. So there's a starter they're not going to have Friday night. Hollywood Brown, Chiefs wide receiver, also not playing in the season opener tomorrow. We did know that, but it has now become official. And fantasy football fans breathe a big sigh of relief. Ja'Marr Chase showed up, full pads, to practice today.
Sure.
I know Diana Rossini, Scoop City on The Athletic, was saying, hey, if he didn't practice, that's an indication he's probably serious. He's not playing Sunday. Yeah. But he did show up. Joe Burrow said he's good to go. So it looks like Ja'Marr Chase is not going to hold out. He is going to play week one for the Bengals.
Game checks, guys. Game checks.
Yeah, you're not missing that.
Yep.
The neck of Davis Mills, one of the best necks
in the
history of the sport.
Long neck.
Oh, no.
Or Mike Glennon.
He's sticking around. Texans are signing him to a one-year, $5 million deal to be the backup to Stroud.
The neck lives on.
The neck lives on. Let's go, Davis Mills.
Another day.
We got you, bro.
Hey, Mike Glennon guy's got like saggy turtlenecks. His neck is so damn long.
Yeah. Glennon and Mills, like we should have a neck off between the two of them. Mm. Which one's longer?
Yeah. Okay. I think Travis
Bring
ETN.
Your three best neckers.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Three, huh?
She's got a roster we can use.
I'm fresh out, dog. I thought I'd ask you first.
I thought maybe you had three we might be able to use.
I'm fresh out, bro.
All right. Just let me know when you get three.
Now,
Travis ETN is a new name to throw into the mix. It's just an honorable mention for a current big-time net guy
in
the NFL.
I need to check out Travis ETN. Then.
Yeah.
All right.
No, he's hiding in plain sight that way.
Is Merton Hanks Peyton Manning the GOAT? Oh, Merton Hanks.
Merton Hanks is the GOAT.
Yeah. You're right. Well, it depends on what you're going for. Are you going for more length? Are you going for more Paul Posluszny, Takeo Spikes girth?
Okay, now Takeo Spikes. Well, see, his... Yeah, that was... Big neck.
Two different categories.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Right. No question.
I admire both.
Those are guys without necks.
Huh? Yeah, but short, but like very thick.
I guess that's a fair way to put it.
That's like...
That's more girth, less tonnage.
It's like head on shoulders, not even neck.
You know who might have been the perfect mix of length and girth as it pertains to the neck is Leighton Vander Esch. And crazy enough, he had neck issues.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Spinal. Mm. It's tough. Kyle Pitts, uncertain for week one against the Steelers. Falcons tight end.
Why?
So when you're getting, he's got a hammy.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that's a hammy.
So I got out of the car today. I parked too close to the guy next to me. I think I pulled my hamstring getting out of the car.
I noticed you limping around, but I thought that might have been the bunion or the gout.
No.
I could have swore that was a gout.
Yeah, no, I'll let you know that. But man, I pulled a hamstring getting out of the car. It was a little too close.
Just overextended?
No, I had to like kind of snake my way out. It didn't work too well.
You were slithering between the cars.
It didn't work.
Sorry to hear that.
It sucks getting old, man. It really does.
Comeback player of the year. Actually, he didn't win that award. It went to Joe Flacco.
What are you making up stuff over there again?
But DeMar Hamlin, he's making his first start in nearly 2 years after he's now moved back to the front of the Bills depth chart.
Well, that's an example of some of the talent no longer being there in the building to some extent.
You taking
shots
tomorrow?
The guy rallies and you're going to do
Are
that.
Are you watchdogging that depth chart?
He is.
A little bit,
That's a Miami Dolphin fan over there.
I got to make preseason predictions, man.
That's
Miami putting the Bills in the playoffs or are they out?
No, they're in the playoffs.
They're in. They're not out.
Which is not going to win the division.
Ooh, who is? We saving it for tomorrow?
Not the Jets.
Is it the Dolphins?
It's the Dolphins.
It's the Dolphins!
It's the Dolphins. You heard it here first.
Yeah, Barnwell says,
let's
not
go.
So fast.
Yeah, Barnwell's got the Saints going to the dance.
Dude, I'm all for it. More Mike McDaniel audio. Give me the fins. I'm here. All right, let's go to Micah Parsons.
What are those pants he's wearing, by the way?
Joggers.
McDaniel?
Yeah. He's a big jogger guy.
Yeah, he's a big jogger guy.
We had a whole conversation about those. We broke it down.
I think he just hikes them up a little
bit. They're like Capri jogger deals.
Are these skinny guy pants? Is that what those are?
Definitely.
He wears skinny guy pants, then he wears like two sizes too big shoes. Remember, that was a thing that he gets made fun of.
Dawson, you like those pants, don't you?
Well, I'm a soccer coach,
so that's what I'm saying.
I can't hate on them too hard.
You're that guy in Germany who scratches himself and sniffs it.
Shows a little too much.
That's a little
calf.
Yeah, that is quite the accusation.
It's a little too form fitting for my chicken legs, to be honest, but I won't turn a pair down.
Oh, we got
to
vote for
logo. With the team
when it comes to the next. Mm. And Javon Kerr's still out there looking for a gig right now. All right, Micah Parsons talking today.
Hold on. J-Ron Kerr's, not Javon Kerr's.
J-Ron,
the freak.
Not the former freak. Yeah, J-Ron. Okay. J-Ron Kerr's. Thank you for that correction. And so much football in my brain right now.
I bet Javon Kerr's could, in a Zimmer defense next to Micah Parsons, I bet he could go get you as many sacks as our rookie Nealon can.
All right, you need one sack. From an old retired veteran stud, DeMarcus
Ware
or Curse? Which one are you going for?
Ware. I saw Ware in the weight room today on his Instagram. It's like, yeah, he's still got it.
He is so just physically.
Ware can get you one.
Yeah, he looks like he could still play. So does Michael Irvin. All right, here's Micah today at the Star. What does he want to be this year?
Matthew Stafford, definitely.
Whoops.
We got two Micah cuts. We'll get to the Matthew Stafford one in a second.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah,
no, you're good.
I'll clean that up in post. Don't worry about it.
I appreciate
it, right?
you.
Yeah.
It's the killer, the hitman, and the assassin.
You know, the killer, he's sloppy. You know, he's probably going to get caught. You know, he's not very good at what he does, but he's a killer. You know, he's raw on the streets. Call it like that. And you got the hitman. The hitman might not get caught, but you know who did it. You know, like, you know, he's probably a little bit more clean. And the assassin, you don't even know he's there. You don't even know he done it. You know what I'm saying? So each time you really want to develop, and I think at this fourth year mark for me, I think I'm ready to be an assassin.
He's ready to be an assassin. Wow. Doesn't want to be the killer, but he's ready to be the assassin.
That's quite the word picture there.
I do love some of his analogies, man.
I mean, he was barely going there. You would not know he was there in the off season, so maybe that was just him practicing.
Oh, no.
Dawson's on to something.
You're saying he's an assassin late in the season when it matters?
From far away, assassin.
Like he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
So killer's the lowest rung of this here category.
Yeah, he said sloppy. He said sloppy.
Yeah, because it's simply on the dictionary, it just says like a person or thing that kills. That's a killer. But once you get to the hitman, it's a person who is paid to kill.
Professional, yeah.
But then you get to the assassin, that's a person who murders an important person for specific type political reasons.
Mm. So do you want to be the assassin? Like, are you going for the quarterback?
Yeah,
I think the hitman's probably what he wants.
The hitman sounds badass.
Mm-hmm.
Hitman.
You get paid to do it.
Yeah, but I think you're right where he's trying to go after the quarterbacks. He's I'm not here to.
Well, the assassin gets paid, right?
The assassin's kind of doing it for the love of the game paid a little bit.
Oh, that's like personal gain?
Yeah. I mean,
there's something more invested there.
Might be political. You might be an agent working for, you know.
An assassin's probably on retainer.
Is like James Bond an assassin? Or like John Wick?
I think so.
John Wick is an assassin. James Bond is an agent.
He's an agent. Okay.
Agent
007. Let's get back to Micah. On his podcast yesterday, he was going through the most underrated players in the National Football League.
He's going through the list of assassins.
And he did do that afterwards. But here was his most underrated quarterback.
Matthew Stafford definitely doesn't get his light, I think, because of his time in Detroit. But he's also Super Bowl champion. I think his career is definitely super underrated. They don't ever put him in a category where he's different. I think he's easily a top 10 quarterback, top 5, depending on what you're looking for, what attributes. And just being around him over the past 3-4 years competing against him, he's definitely one of the more complicated guys to go through with no-look passes. He's been doing that. His ability to read defenses, I mean, Matthew Stafford really does it all.
He does. And he's gotten a lot of love this offseason. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud, myself, Bobby Belt going after it. Matthew Stafford, for whatever reason, I don't think it's the praise he deserves. But Micah, the latest to say, hey, underrated. He also said Brock Purdy would be the other underrated quarterback right now. It's hard to argue. Purdy does a lot of winning in the postseason, but he does have a great team around him. I think that's the next thing he needs to check off. Like the injuries, hey, if you don't have Debo, you don't have Trent Williams, like are you able to now elevate your game to get some dubs? It's the one thing Purdy has not quite done yet.
I mean, Stafford's just had so many years with double-digit interceptions. You know, he's kind of like a...
He's got some Favre in him.
Yeah.
Gunslinger.
I was going to say, yeah, like a modern version of Favre. But, you know, I think when it comes to reading the defenses and you need a great arm to make a big-time throw, and he's an athlete, he'll go get, you know, fourth and one. He can go run for
super tough
third and long first downs. I would definitely think that. And yes, it's all due to being with the Lions. You know, 100%. We evaluate quarterback wins and losses and being
in
Detroit.
He still went to two playoffs with them. And those rosters, I mean, he had Calvin Johnson, granted, but the rest of those rosters, they were a bad call away from beating the Cowboys in that wild card game. That was, they picked up the flag. Thank God they did. And then we went on to Green Bay. We know what happened there. Final thing here, NFL news today.
Is Kirk Cousins underrated?
No, I don't think Cousins is underrated. Because Cousins is also one that's like ranked in these top 10 lists, and he's probably right there with Dak.
I mean,
like,
he kind of finds ways to win games.
Yeah, like he's a winning, right? he's a good quarterback.
I mean, when he goes out, his team falls apart.
What do you guys think of passer rating as a stat?
I think QBR has now kind of overtaken passer rating.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, Stafford just, he lives in the 80s and 90s. Only has had a couple of years in the 100s for passer rating, where Kirk Cousins consistently is in there.
Yeah.
But I feel like Stafford's a better player.
Right. Like, I would take Stafford. I mean, and Stafford, he finally got on a good team, wins 4 playoff games in a Super Bowl.
If Stafford does not win the Super Bowl, do you take him over Kirk Cousins? Because we were always doing radio where it was Dak, Eli Manning, Stafford, Cousins. We all had them lumped together,
And it's tough to really differentiate. Like, once you've got your top two guys, which I believe are Mahomes and Burrow, and then I'd probably put Allen, even though there's things you can nitpick about his game at number three. After that, it's basically like ice cream flavors, like we always talk about in the draft.
Yeah.
None of like all of these guys have things that they need to prove, but the Super Bowl is what sets apart the playoff success to me that Stafford now has accomplished is what sets apart him to.
I wonder if this is the year that Rodgers finally falls off the cliff.
Could happen.
Very likely that it could happen. Yes.
It appeared like it was maybe already happening late in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And then you have the injury last year, you know, and it might just, you know, hit you a front and center this season. All right. NFL news of the day every afternoon, 3 o'clock. We have Danny Cannell coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
F3 the Fan. Welcome back to G-Bag Nation. Thanks for making this part of your day. Let's talk some college football with one of our favorite college football guests, Danny Cannell, here on The Fan. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. You can buy two, get two free. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And this segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Or jump online to frankelfirm.com. Danny Cannell joining us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff conference Heisman and college football week 2 lines. And a good afternoon, Danny. How the heck are you?
I was doing better before the season started as a Florida State grad. You know, now 0-2 has not been kind, but first weekend of college football was awesome across the board. So I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
We're fantastic, and we are licking our chops for this Texas-Michigan matchup this coming Saturday. I don't know for you. I mean, I've seen some Michigan fans that they're talking big. Some people are projecting, hey, Texas isn't even going to score 10 points there at the Big House. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, if I was a Michigan fan and I had just watched that Fresno State game, I wouldn't be talking too much smack after what they put on display in week 1. Now the question is, was that just an aberration? Were they a little bit flat? Maybe they were looking ahead to the Texas game, which I do think is probably what happened. But Texas is going to be in for a physical ball game. That is the one thing that popped that Michigan still does have. Will Johnson, one of the best defensive backs in the country, he had a pick 6 in that game. He's going to challenge Texas's wide receivers. But I cannot wait to watch the matchup, sort of the chess match in the game of Steve Sarkisian, the offensive mastermind, going against Wink Martindale, who is Michigan's defensive coordinator, who's there for the first time. He's back in college. He was with the New York Giants. He spent some time along most of his career in the NFL. He's going to have some blitzes dialed up to try to confuse that offensive line, to try to confuse Quinn Ewers, force some errant throws. That, to me, is sort of the game within the game.
Danny, who had a better win, USC or Notre Dame?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll say USC. I'll lean USC because I do feel they answered some more questions for me. You know, USC looked so good on both sides of the football.
Sure,
and that was the one thing. Like Miller Moss, he had 6 touchdowns in the bowl game, but it was sort of like, well, that was just a meaningless bowl game. Like, bowl games don't mean as much. And what he's showcased going toe-to-toe with Garrett Nussmeier, who a lot of people think is going to be a top-5 pick in the NFL draft, going like trading jabs, like it was a lot of fun. That game was a ton of fun to watch. But then probably more impressively was the defense for USC, which was absolutely atrocious last season, the last couple years, really, for Lincoln Riley. And they brought in this new defensive coordinator, and they didn't really bring in a lot of new personnel, but they looked physical, they looked well-coached, they tackled outstanding. So I thought they were a little bit more impressive, not to take away from anything that Notre Dame did, because I thought that was one of those, you know, defensive slugfests. But I do want to see their quarterback, Riley Leonard, take another step forward in the pass game. Both those offenses sputtered a little bit And what I'm trying to figure out, is it more because the defenses that were on display, which were outstanding, or is it kind of, you know, some concern potentially for both of those teams on the offensive side of the ball?
So I'm going to get myself in trouble because those are two big fan bases with Texas A&M and Notre Dame. But watching that game, Danny, this is the Pretender Bowl. These are two teams that come in super hyped every year, but realistically are not going to be competing for anything substantial.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. This is one of those things about the 12-team playoff, the expansion. It's going to give a lot of teams and fan bases a lot of hope, right? Oh, we can make the playoffs, and they're going to. But then I think there is going to be a pretty big gap and a disparity in the teams they're going against, the top-tier teams like Georgia, like Ohio State, some of these really complete teams that are out there. So I don't disagree with you, but I will say this. It sure does feel like Notre Dame punched their ticket. And I don't know if I would have said the same about Texas A&M. Clearly, they would have been in a much better position than losing the game. But Notre Dame's schedule is an absolute cakewalk. Yeah. And I was joking about Florida State. That was supposed to be one of their harder games, who they do play in South Bend. All of a sudden, they might be a 2-touchdown favorite in that game. And then the team we were just talking about, USC, that's the finale. Notre Dame's probably undefeated at that point. They're going to be favored in every game this season. They might be favored in that one. We'll see how it unfolds. But even if they lose that, I do think an 11-1 Notre Dame team is in the playoffs, no matter any way you look at it.
Danny, did Nebraska figure out their quarterback situation?
Boy, it sure feels like it. I mean, he looked pretty good, in a blowout. That's always, you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. We'll find out about him because it is a big stage. You know, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs watching that game because they're going against Colorado. We know what Colorado brings to the table. A lot of brash, confident, bold, statements, bold declarations from them. An outstanding offense. The thing that I think is going to be really interesting is Dylan Raiola, their freshman quarterback, who looked great so far. He's going to have an opportunity against a defense that got sliced and diced all last year, and then it continued against an FCS opponent where their quarterback looked awesome. So there are going to be some opportunities for Dylan Raiola to look really good. But on this stage, you always kind of wonder, how's he going to respond? Is he going to, the light's too big? It doesn't feel like that anyway whatsoever. So I feel pretty good about him. But there's always that little bit of, man, he's still a really young player. How's it going to look when he's out there with, on that type of stage?
What about Miami? Are they the real deal? They should be able to win that conference pretty easily.
Yes, they should. And they're clearly the front runner right now with the way Clemson looked and then Florida State falling off the map. But I felt like this season coming in, I was pretty bullish on the Canes. They have the best roster that they've had here since joining the ACC. We're talking almost two decades that they've been in the ACC. And they've had talented teams, but this is by far the most talent they've had across the board. And it really does start with Cam Ward, who I thought was the most attractive quarterback in the transfer portal market this offseason. You saw it on display in Gainesville. He's dynamic. He's cool, calm, collected. He never panics. He did have one ill-advised pass that was kind of like, he does remind you of today's quarterback, which is sort of that Patrick Mahomes, Caleb Williams style, where it's a little bit more gunslinger type, where you're just kind of going out there. Sometimes there's nothing there. You sit back, you buy some time, and you go for that big play. He got burned on one of those early in the game, had an interception. But like most great quarterbacks, it didn't faze him one bit. He, followed it up. And I would say the only caveat with that conversation is, Florida, how good are they? But I tell you, going into the swamp, week one opener, it was going to be loud. It was a hostile environment, and they embarrassed the Gators on their home field. So I do think Miami's the real deal.
Talking about this conference in the ACC, SMU at 2-0, first year in the conference. Are they a sneaky team that could maybe even make that conference championship game?
Absolutely. They definitely could. That's the interesting thing about the ACC now is there were really three teams coming in that everybody kind of was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be some mixture of these three teams. And it was Miami, it was Florida State, and it's Clemson. Well, we saw Clemson, look to struggle mightily against Georgia. Now, I do give them a pass because Georgia embarrasses a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see. Florida State's 0-2, and it's like dire times there. So they're out of the race. And then it's like, okay, well, who's going to step up? Georgia Tech looks pretty good. By the way, Virginia Tech, who was a trendy team to be that pick, they lost to Vanderbilt on the road. So why wouldn't it be SMU at this point? And I got to tell you, a game on the beginning of the season that I wasn't that nervous about, all of a sudden that first ACC game with Florida State coming to town, I think they have to feel pretty good about their chances. So, yeah, I think Rhett Lashley's team has to feel as good as anybody right now in the ACC.
Danny, when you looked at Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, as it usually Alabama will schedule one or two games where they kind of get their, you know, get their bearings and stuff. But how would you assess the Alabama's coach's debut?
Oh, it was as solid as you could get. I mean, I do think, like, if you were really nitpicking, there's some concern that you do have. You know, a couple big plays were there that Western Kentucky's quarterback missed. But, I mean, talk to Oregon, who barely beat Idaho, an FCF squad. You know, talk to North Carolina State, who was losing in the fourth quarter. Bama was in control of the game from start to finish. They looked the part. And that's kind of what I believed all the time. I know people like Georgia, people like Texas. I do, too. But do not count out Alabama. They will be in this race come November towards the back end of the season. They'll be a factor. I don't know if they're good enough to be that national championship contender just yet, but I absolutely think they're in that conversation as one of the 12 teams that are getting that invite at the end of the season.
Danny, is Clemson, we're talking about ACC, and it just kind of clicked with me about Clemson, as you mentioned. Is Dabo Swinney being punished for not playing in the transfer portal game?
Yes. I love Dabo, and I love his philosophy. I used to have that philosophy probably 10 years ago that I didn't really like transfer guys. I viewed them as quitters. I saw them as guys that didn't want to be in for the long haul. And, you know, kind of the old school mentality of, yeah, I want guys that are homegrown, that are guys that came in together and you keep a class together for 4 years and 5 years. That has all changed. I've changed my philosophy. I've adapted today's game, just in the perception of the way I view teams. Most every coach in the country, I don't think there's anyone that has just ignored it. It really is the equivalent of an NFL franchise saying, you know what, we don't want to tackle free agency. We'll just win through the draft. And it's like trying to win a fight with one arm tied behind your back. I do hope, because I kind of root for them in this kind of bucking the trend and doing it more old school. I think they can rebound because their talent is there. They do have a ton of 4 and 5 stars across their roster, but I thought you saw the depth get exposed because for a half, they were right there with Georgia, right? It was just an ugly game, low scoring, and then they get outscored in the second half when some of the depth starts to come to the forefront. So, yes, I do think Dabo is being way too stubborn, and it's not like he has to turn into Deion Sanders and bring in 50 new players. He could just pick and choose 5 or 6 guys, bring them in at positions of need. No one will get upset. It won't disrupt the chemistry in the locker room, and they can hopefully get back to where their fan base wants to be, and that's being one of the national title contenders. See, the thing is, this is where it gets tricky. Clemson can be good. I just don't think they can be great until he adapts his mindset.
Danny, as the season wears on, which games are you excited about? And I'm not asking specifically the games, but are you more like these Big Ten teams traveling to like the old Pac-12 teams? We got like Michigan going to Seattle to play. Are you more excited about that or what's going on maybe in the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma, or even what's going on in the Big 12 with some of these now cross the country matchups?
Jimmy, all of it. The one thing that I would like to see change, and we saw a lot of them on display this weekend, and it kind of hurts those smaller schools. I'm kind of done with the, you know, let's see Ohio State play Akron as a 49-point favorite. Yeah. We saw multiple SEC teams put up 60 and 70 points versus FCS schools. What I really would look forward to is when there's Power 4, which is what, you know, Power 4 now is what we're calling it, where there's 10 Power 4 games. You know, that's right. What you have on your schedule. And then you get 2 games where you can take a break. There are too many right now. The SEC still only plays 8. The ACC only plays 8 conference games. And then a lot of them schedule lighter opponents to kind of pad your records. But the reason, and I'm more old school. I didn't love seeing the Pac-12 dying. I don't like losing some rivalry games, although we are getting back an incredible one in A&M in Texas. But I am a fan of the matchups. Like, you could just go down the list and look at Penn State traveling to USC. Like, that game is going to be phenomenal. Ohio State going to Oregon, in October. There's matchups across the board. Georgia going to Texas.
Yeah.
Georgia going to Alabama, which has already been there. But there's just so many games that are really key matchups. I just want more of them. I'm a little bit selfish because I'm like, let's get rid of some of these blowouts. Give me more of those matchups that are so compelling with some of those big brands going head to head.
Well, we want more of Danny Cannell talking college football. We'll take it whenever we can. Danny, thank you so much. Enjoy the games, buddy.
Oh, you guys are awesome, man. Great catching up. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Salute. Danny Cannell brought to you by Bet Online. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Brought us. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about this Cleveland Brown offense. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner. It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Appreciate that. Thank you to Reliant as well for being part of this. If you're new to the broadcast, this is the part where I take a look at the opponent, the weekly opponent for your Dallas Cowboys, do the offense generally on a Wednesday and the defense on a Thursday, and then we'll do the referees on Friday. So just try and get you ready for this broadcast this week coming up in the game. So hopefully you'll get something out of this. If you're into the podcasting scene, just got a new – Bobby and I did a Love of the Star that's posted. So after our show today, feel free to give it a listen and tell us what you think. But we're really proud of what we've done there. And it should be three of those a week for you now that the season started. So nice. Hopefully everybody will take a listen to that as well. Okay, this Cleveland Brown offense and – what a little bit of some of the struggles you'll go through early is because you don't have a lot of games. So you have to go back and say, watch games. And what I did was I went back and watched the games where Deshaun Watson was actually healthy enough to play. And then he got hurt. So then you have to kind of deal with that, the shoulder problems and things that he was dealing with that caused him to miss the majority of the season last year. But I went back and watched the games that he was able to play and how the team responded. I will point this out that before we get going, I think yesterday I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Bless you, Eric, by the way.
Bless you.
I did talk about running game Moses no longer being there for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, offensive line coach Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan, yeah. And so they've replaced him with a guy named Andy Dickinson. And Andy was with them. He was with Seattle the last several years. But he was a guy that was at Cleveland and went on to be Seattle's line coach. And then
they bring him back.
And they brought him back. So, you know, that's something that, you know, you keep an eye on with. I think Bill Callahan, I had the utmost respect for. I think that everywhere Billy's been, you know, with the exception of the head coach and stuff at Nebraska, he is, when he's the offensive line coach, he's going to be creative. You're going to have a physical front. You're going to be able to run the football. He just makes players better. And this crew right here is
Cowboys run game really never recovered.
Yeah, I mean Dallas had some really good players when you look back at with Ron Leary and Frederick and guys like that.
Doug Free.
I mean, he did. He took a group of guys that have talent, but boy, I mean, he made them even better. And I think he did the same thing to help this Cleveland Brown offensive line. But I want to talk about Deshaun Watson first, because when you look at Watson, the thing that I noticed with him is he's not always just accurate. He did have if you look at metrics, he was the fourth lowest when it came to completion percentage. He was at 45% when he was under pressure. So if you find ways to get to him, and I'm going to tell you a couple ways I think you can get to him, but he's a guy that makes receivers work for the ball. He's got a really over-the-top throwing delivery. It's like he's up on his toes, and sometimes it causes the ball to sail on him a little bit. He's got some guys that, you know, Amari Cooper, we all know Amari Cooper. He's a good bad ball catcher. There's several times you see guys running routes, and he's throwing the ball, and they're having to go down to get it, or he's throwing the ball, it's too high. He's got arm talent. There's no question. He just doesn't know where the ball's going to go. And what I have to think about, what the Cowboys need to think about is you have to guard against his ability to scramble. That's where I think that when Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, primary play caller, Ken Dorsey's now in the building with them as a coach, as the offensive coordinator. Ken Dorsey did a good job of working with Allen, Josh Allen, and his accuracy problems in college. So I guess that's why you bring a guy in like this to try and help him become a more accurate quarterback. But I mentioned you have to guard against that scramble because he'll run out of the pocket if he senses trouble at all. You know, you have to bring him down in the pocket. This guy's strong enough to shake off poor tackling. You know, you get around him and all of a sudden it's an arm tackle. He'll just you know, push you aside and keep going. So you got to make sure it's not a weak tackle. You get an opportunity to bring him down, bring him down. I felt like he could be a little late with the ball to the outside. It gives DBs the opportunity to drive on a lot of his passes. And I think it makes it far more contested catches than probably what you want from your quarterback. Mari Cooper, I mentioned him. He's going to play in the slot. He's also going to play on the outside. He's quick out of the break. He will lull you to sleep, and then he'll just explode in his route. So how they match him up, maybe inside with some Jordan Lewis. You know, will Jordan Lewis be able to handle his quickness? Will they put him on the outside? When you look at Cooper, Cooper is one of the best receivers in the league when it comes to sideline catches. He works with such small space on the outside, and you think you got him covered, and he'll make a play. He'll just extend and then tap, tap, out of bounds. He'll go.
It's brilliant, the adjustment that he's
in.
Don't you think that's the play for them? You get Amari Cooper matched up against the rookie, and you pick on Carson until he proves he can cover you.
I think, to me personally, the guy that I would pick on is Lewis, who I would pick on. I would put Amari Cooper. I would make Lewis have to cover all the ground and just let Cooper run routes.
Interesting.
You know, when you play the slot, you're more open to use. You can use the whole field. When you play on the outside, you tend to have to maybe they can use the sideline. But I was telling you about Cooper. We've all seen him. It's his ability to adjust on the sidelines is really, really impressive. You know, he's the best when you put him on those vertical routes, the post routes, the corner routes, the go routes. Those are the routes that he really, really will excel at as well. But I think where you look at maybe the place to attack this group. Now, they've got some questions on their offensive line, and they've got questions at their offensive tackles. And their offensive tackle, when Jedrick Wills, he's not been completely healthy with the knee, and then Jack Conklin is another one that's been dealing with injury as well. They've struggled with that. DeJuan Jones had been a backup last year, and he played a lot of games for the Browns last season. And he's a guy that if Conklin or that Willis can't go, then you'll see him in the action. So there's some questions about their offensive tackles availability. We got the injury report just a little bit ago. They were both limited in their reps to practice today. We'll just keep an eye on that.
That's huge, man. I mean, questions with the health on the O-line, shuffling things around perhaps, losing the best offensive line coach in the sport in this offseason. You don't have Nick Chubb in the backfield. I understand the guy who's replacing him was solid last year. Jerome Ford. But, I mean, and then you factor in a bad quarterback. I mean, my gosh, dude.
Well, and Mary Kay Cabot, who was on this morning with Sean and RJ, neither of those tackles have practiced at all.
Yeah, and you know what? That's clearly the focus. I think if they do play, then we'll see how well they play without the reps that they've had for the training camps and things like that. I think that Willis is a better player than Conklin myself. When you watch him, he's gotten better. You watch him, the left tackle, the reps that he's taken, and he could be pretty impressive. He's very athletic, and he's gotten better each year. Where I feel like you need to attack these guys is their two spot. I don't think Wyatt Teller, the right guard, is particularly good. I don't think he handles power all that well. And then Ethan Posick, the center, neither one of them, when they have to deal with combo blocks or they have to deal with twist stunts or any type of games inside, neither one of them play with very much strength.
Welcome to Mike Zimmer's double A gap.
I think that's exactly. I would not be surprised. And both teams, I think, are going to do this with both defenses. I could very well see covering these guards up and then letting like Ethan Posick go one-on-one with Hat when they go with against Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
And Parsons see if he could win that matchup with him. Because we've seen the double A gap blitz stuff with Zimmer. But I think the Browns are going to do the same thing to the BB. I think they're going to cover both your guards and put Garrett on that over the center.
Well, Stefanski was Zim's OC in Minnesota.
Right.
So they know each other very, very well.
They do know each other well. But to me, it's the right guard and the center are the two guys that I kind of feel like you need to attack on this offensive line. when I feel like that their tight end is a good player, David Njoku, I think is a good player. Where you're going to deal with him is in the flat mainly. That's where a lot of his catches are.
Boots,
swaggles, screen game is huge for these guys. And I have a feeling with Watson, if they're going to try and kind of make him feel comfortable, they're going to have to understand that David Njoku, it's block, and then get
release.
Out. Block, and, you know, so now you're kind of lulled to sleep thinking he's going to stay in and protect, and now he's out in the flat and they're going to catch the ball. But he's a guy that's really, really good at catching it, getting up the field. He's an athletic tight end, and he can make some things happen. For the running back, they'll do things. They'll get you an 11 personnel. They'll try and spread you out and then hand the ball to these backs and let them just work off that. A lot of that zone blocking stuff where they'll get – it's a gap to them, and then they'll just take that gap, and then they'll let the backs cut off that. So a lot of different things they could do, but I think losing their line coach will hurt them. The questions of some health at the tackle, the lack of accuracy at quarterback, and some weakness on the inside at their positions, at their guard and their center, I think that bodes well for the Cowboys in this matchup.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Getting some great reaction on text, the 817. I think Brian just said we're about to face Trey Lance. And I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Broadus is the GOAT, says the 214 with the info. Been looking forward to the pregame analysis during the week. It is back. What are we doing tomorrow, Brian?
That would be the Browns defense. And I've already taken a peek at them. And so there's going to be some things. You think that you have some advantages on against their offense. That would be true. They've had some advantages against you on their defense. So
it'll be
something we'll talk about tomorrow.
And we'll get into that tomorrow at 3:40 here in the Nation, brought to you by Reliant. Little sports hodgepodge coming up, Chief.
Yes, sir. Let the gamesmanship begin in Ann Arbor, plus a new installment of Why You Gotta Bring Up Old Stuff next here in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.